I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. This is Parklandia, a production of iHeartRadio.
We sold our loft in Chicago, moved into an RV, and now we're traveling the country full-time with our dog, Finn, exploring America's national parks.
And today we're bringing you another episode of Boondocking with Brad. Now, today we are going to be discussing back to basics. Before we even jumped into our RV full time, we had to sell all of our stuff. We had to fix our loft to sell it. We had to talk with friends. We threw yard sales, garage sales. We went to the Goodwill and gave out donations. We had to do a lot of different things in order to do this. There's a lot of mental minimalization and physical minimalization.
Yeah, for sure. It was emotional and stressful. And in addition to just being a lot of work and preparation, and it's much different than like moving, because I've moved several times, especially in and around Chicago. And this was really different because now I'm having to go through pretty much each and every material possession and weigh whether I need it or not and prioritize.
Which, or if we could put it in storage.
Yeah, or if we put it in storage, yeah, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah, and then there's this mental minimalization that you have to go through because you're realizing that you're giving up this city. There's so much to do there. There's so many things to remember and to people to talk to and say goodbye. And what you're doing is you're trying to like get ready to go on the road for a long period of time. And what I don't think a lot of people realize is that there's this mental piece where you have to like restructure how you think, how you feel, how you act to be able to focus on RV living, because it is such an undertaking in the beginning. So when I talk about like mental minimalization, it's really just trying to refocus that into what we need for the RV. And so when you start thinking about, okay, I have a 10-foot by 26-foot space to put all of my belongings in, how do I do that?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy.
We couldn't take your childhood desk, but we did put that in storage.
Oh, okay, yeah. Not that I ever used that anyway. But
I know, but it's one of those sentimental things. So, you know, we had to find out what it was. And so I had to take a couple trips to storage in Indiana to the farm. And it was a journey for sure.
Yeah. I know, like, for me, too, I needed to specifically find items or keep items that made me feel at home, because that was really hard. Leaving Chicago was really hard.
I feel absolutely.
Like especially for me, because I was there for so long and was so rooted there. And leaving was just a real emotional struggle. So I knew I needed to get items that would make me feel mentally comfortable. And that means like movies and games and books and stuff like that that I was used to having and using on a regular basis.
I remember that Louise, you and her went to a little store and bought a mini cactus.
Oh, yeah.
Or cacti. And, you know, you wanted to bring that because, you know, that's something that would make you think of her. I told you, Louise, that Matt would even be able to kill a cactus. And we are sorry to say that about 8 months in.
I don't even know if it lasted that long. I, like, killed it in record time.
I was really trying to give you some extra leeway here.
I don't know what happened.
It has since passed. And then, like, Maggie gave you the neon cactus sign that's, like, still next to our bed. Mm-hmm. That's, like, we had, double-sided sticky taped it right to the side. So that's our little night light for when we want it to glow. And so it's just really, you know, there's those things. You see them and they remind you of the people around you.
Totally, yeah. And that's great. I can handle, like, inanimate objects, but living things... No.
Yeah.
Finn is great, but aside from that.
Yeah, Finn is.
That's like my max.
Thank goodness.
Of maxed out. Yeah.
Yeah. And Finn is very well taken care of and spoiled, so mm-hmm. we don't have to worry about that at least.
No.
But yeah, so, you know, there's those like things. You're like, okay, it's not necessary to have it, but it's something that you want.
Yes.
And it helps you with that memory or that feeling of that friend. And so there's things like that you bring. That's why we have photos up in our RV and all these different little aspects to make it really more homey.
Well, that's a question that we get asked a lot, or like I get people ask me a lot, like, how do you make it feel? Or like, what do you recommend? You know, really basic questions like for people moving into an RV for the first time. And how to feel comfortable with it. And one of my number one recommendations is doing stuff like hanging photos, not framed or anything, because that's, you don't really have the space for that and that's not necessary. But like what we do is just having photos that we printed out and we literally just kind of tape them up essentially. So they don't take
up room.
Yeah,
it's like a little clothesline pin.
Yeah. So they don't take up physical room. They're just adhered right to the cabinets and stuff. And it goes a long way because it not only does it liven up the space, but you're surrounded by these positive memories and friendly faces, and it's really uplifting.
It really is.
I love it.
And, you know, getting back to Chicago, we had a lot of collections. We have a tiki mug collection. I had a liquor collection. I did have a record collection, but I ended up selling that before going on the road because I don't know why. I probably shouldn't have, but that's okay. They're in a good home, and everything's good there, and people are using them. So that's what matters. Records are meant to be played, not stored. And I just didn't want them to go bad because they were in a storage area and not like temperature controlled. So,
yeah
but I sold, I mean, there was at least 400 or 500 records in there. And our tiki mugs, we had to wrap them all up, box them all up, label them. We took down our National Parks wall, which has two travel on one side and traveled two on the other. And then it has all, well, had 59
at the time,
national
parks
at the time. So all their postcards in these beautiful frames. And basically, as we traveled to them, we would move the frame from one side to the other. Mm-hmm. And then we collect knickknacks to fill gaps and a beautiful wall. But we had to pack all that away. We couldn't bring that all into the RV, but we did bring one sign. And that's the Jack Kerouac quote. Their suitcases are piled on the sidewalk again, yet there's longer ways to go because the road is life. And that's hanging on our fridge now. And so we kept that one part of the wall because it's a beautiful quote. And it's on this beautiful piece of wood that our friends at Tift Wood in New Mexico made for us when we were getting that National Parks wall together. And so there's just so many beautiful aspects that we wanted to bring with us that we couldn't. And then clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Matt had, he actually had 90% of our closet space.
I needed it.
You did. And actually, I remember one Christmas, he surprised me by reducing it to half of it. And he actually allowed me to have half the space after 3 years of being married.
Yeah.
So that was like a Christmas gift to me 1 year because I was like, I don't have any room. And he did that for me. So that was really nice.
Yeah, because in addition to having this whole closet, I also had a big armoire. And I'm like, Merry Christmas, here's half a closet that you are entitled to, but I have refused to.
Give me.
Like, oh, yeah.
But then we had to reduce it even more. And so now, I mean, it's gross. Like, we're talking about, that was a 4 foot deep by 15 foot wide with two like racks high where you can hang clothes. And then Matt finally reduced his to half of that. And then from there, now we have a 2 foot by 3 foot by 5 foot tall box for Matt's hangable right. clothes and three drawers, too small or too shallow, you know, 4 or 5 inches tall drawers, and then one that's like a foot deep. And that's all he gets.
Basically nothing.
So what we had to do is we had to find like, okay, these are the good clothes. We don't want to bring these on the road because they will get ruined. And there's some clothes that we did. And you know what? They're used so much that, you know, we never had to really deal with this in Chicago because we didn't like do that. But like we have hats that are literally – we're this beautiful black color, and now they like have brown spots because they've been out in the sun so much.
Yeah.
And we wear them consistently and constantly. And so there's just different things that you have to like make sure that you don't bring your nice, nice clothes. But bring a nice set of clothes so that way you can go out on a date together and things like that. So these are things that we had to think about. It's just all this minimalizing and just trying to figure out what are our necessities to be able to live this lifestyle.
Yeah, totally.
Like you were saying, board games, that was another collection. We probably had over 80 to 100 board games because
that's
we were
exaggeration. I wish. That's like a dream.
No, probably like 50 to 60.
Yeah, I mean, that's still on the high end. But we had a good amount of board games, probably like 25.
No, we had more than that. More than that. So we'll agree to disagree.
Yeah.
But we ended up bringing 5 with us, and now we have like acquired 5 more. Mm-hmm. Somehow.
Yeah. They fill up a whole section of the RV, three different cupboards.
Right above our bed, we have all of our little board games. And, you know, there's ones like trekking the national parks.
Essential.
Then there's, that train game. And I'm blanking.
Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride.
The best.
Such a fun game. Those are two are very similar.
So
different, but similar.
Yes.
We need to play that game
we
again.
We do.
I really miss playing
The problem is, like, a lot of the board games we have are meant for a minimum of 3 people.
Well, we can play Ticket to Ride, just the two of us, but you always get mad at me because I win.
Yeah, of course. Well, the more people you play it with, the better, because it's just more fun that way, but also it like kind of softens the blow and I feel less betrayed by people.
You said it. You said by you. Go ahead. Keep it.
So that's the ideal. Yeah. And like Ticket to Ride, I would just get too annoyed with.
Yeah. No, and you know what? When you have other people, you can actually like turn them against me, and that's
true.
What you do.
I don't.
And I still.
If they want to do that, and they're on there, well,
just
they're
saying.
Welcome to. But.
That's why you'll never play Monopoly with me because I'm too good at it.
Of course not. And I just hate that game. It's terrible.
It tears apart families.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, so we had to decide: do we bring Monopoly? And somehow we had 4 different types of Monopoly.
Because people gave them to us as gifts. They
Ninja Turtle, National Parks, regular.
Mario. Nintendo.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Now we just have the National Parks version, which is, that definitely makes it, like, better.
But we still don't play it.
Still. No.
Because, yeah.
I won't play it, like, with you. I played it with, like, my siblings one time. And
that is true. Yeah, he won't.
I won't
and
play
I love
it in your
that
presence.
Game. Like, I love playing Monopoly and...
You're too devious.
Yeah. I even tell you my strategy and you still don't like.
Well, I don't know.
Get it.
I can't do that game.
Which is the worst strategy now that I think about it because I realize it's gentrification.
What's exactly what you're doing now?
Yeah. I just realized I'm a horrible human being when I play Monopoly.
Yeah. You're just realizing that?
You are listening to Parklandia from iHeartRadio.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe, Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. This is Parklandia. So there's just a lot of different things that you have to, like, really condense. I mean, even your pot and pans. Like, who would think bring all your pot and pans? We only had, like, 7-8 of them, but, like, literally now we're allowed to have, like...
Two.
Yeah. We have our, like, frying pan mm-hmm. and our pot.
Yes.
And it's a small pot, not a big one. But basically, we had to just find these things. And, you know, there's some things we had to get rid of or we put them in storage for our kitchen stuff because we had to get like foldable or stackable or different things. Like I can't bring all of my cocktail glasses. Like I have my coupes, my highballs, my rocks glasses, you know, all these different kinds of cocktail glasses, beautiful vintage ones. I mean, I love making cocktails. That's something you might not know about me, but I make my own bitters when I have space and there's a lot of like creative outlets that I have. Around cocktails and making them.
Yes.
And that's because I got Matt sick on Cosmos when we were first dating because we were watching Real Housewives and drinking Cosmos. And I said, I'll never do that to you again. So I had to learn how to make cocktails for real.
Yeah, Cosmopolitans, no, I can't do those. I like martinis, but Cosmopolitans are too sweet.
Yes.
And I had like two of them, and you probably made them doubles.
No, they were probably triples. Like that. It was bad. Like, I shouldn't have been making cocktails at that point.
But no.
Ever since then, when I seen Matt crawled up on the floor in the bathroom.
You know, something went very wrong.
I was like, okay,
I remember like waking. I don't remember much. I remember like waking up, probably curled up in the fetal position, like on the bathroom floor.
Yeah. I did give you a bathrobe as a pillow. And I'm like, I'm just going to leave him there because I don't want him to, I just don't want to move him. But I made sure he was okay. So don't think I'm just a monster.
You just like threw a rope on me.
I made sure he had water and I gave him Tylenol and I sat there with him for hours. I even fell asleep on the floor just making sure he was good. And then I went onto the couch because he was okay. But, and it wasn't as dramatic as this sounds.
So anyway, we don't make Cosmos in the RV.
So there's just so much. Like, you know, you have all this space. The other day we went into a friend's house, I was like, Matt, when's the last time we've been in a home? And he was like, oh, that was probably like 2 months ago at my dad's house. And I said, what? Like, just think of this concept of not being in a home, any home, your own home, any home for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in 10 by 20 foot, 26 foot space. And so when you go into this home, you're like, it's so gigantic.
I know, yeah.
Like their bathroom was bigger than our RV.
Right.
Legit, like no joke. And so you just have to remember, like when you're minimalizing, minimalize to your bathroom.
Yeah.
That's about the size that you get in most cases. But it takes a lot. It's a mental, it's a physical thing. It's an emotional thing because you have to part ways. Like, you know, I have a lot of like Marine Corps like memorabilia and things, and I had to pack all that away, and my dress blues from the Marines, and you know, so I had to pack all that stuff away. I have a lot of memories, notes, like about my martial arts days and all these things that I can't just go to and get inspiration from or like remember where I came from. And so a lot of that just goes away. So you just kind of have to focus on what is absolute a necessity versus anything else. So you have all these memories and you put them all away. But what did we gain from that?
Well, we've gained a lot. We've made a lot of memories together because it kind of refocuses everything. And we spend more time together doing stuff, more time talking, because there's less distractions for sure and less space. Like, we're not that our loft was huge or anything, but like, you know, back then, like I could be in one room doing something, you could be in the other room doing something. And it's nice that things have gotten cozier with less distractions and we do more stuff together, whether it's watching
and with other TV people. We meet new people, we talk to new people because we don't have much with an RV. We definitely push ourselves out to just talk to more people and visit and explore more.
That's good too. I feel like we've made a really broad network of acquaintances and even friends across the country, which is really nice and comforting, because that was a big struggle, was just like leaving that social safety net of Chicago in a sense. And then in the subsequent like year and a half, like making connections with people all over the country and being like, now I don't feel so tied to one place. I feel much more comfortable.
There's a sense of freedom where I feel like Albuquerque is my backyard. I feel like Portland, Maine is my backyard. Orlando,
all these
Atlanta,
places that are comfortable. Yeah,
these are all places that are just amazing. And I remember when we were in Nashville, we met a couple, Cameron and Jeremy from Atlanta, and they became great friends. This past Thanksgiving, we actually spent Friendsgiving with them in Atlanta, because we were in Atlanta and we were, you know, we were working and making sure to try to connect with people. And so we've made these great friendships at travel. We did not meet them in Atlanta. So it's weird that we would just be in Atlanta and now we're friends. And we went out multiple times. We met their friends. And it's just, it's really inspiring. The things that you gain aren't exactly physical items. They are relationships. They're people. They're our relationship with Earth, with national parks.
Oh, yes.
With wildlife and ecology and all these beautiful aspects of what it really means, what life means.
Yeah, you know? And with Finn, too. Like, that's a big thing.
Because,
like, Chicago, we didn't ever take him, like, downtown or anything. We didn't go sightseeing with Finn. All he really got to do and see was explore the neighborhood and wander around. There's a park at the end of the block, which is lovely, but, like, not much, like, change. He would just do the same thing. And
when we were in Portland, Maine, watching him, it was full of wonderment and
he's
excitement.
Seen so much, and we've done so much with him, and his enthusiasm is very clear. He has a very emotive face, and you can see it. We went on a couple hikes with him in Acadia National Park in Maine, and not only did he hold his own, he, you know, this tiny little dog with little legs, was able to walk for miles, but he was scrambling and, like, in and out of little rocks and along the shore. And I was blown away. And it really inspired me. I'm like, wow, your enthusiasm.
It's beautiful. I feel like I'm closer to the meaning of life than I've ever been.
Yes.
And that's just
seeing it through
like
him. Yeah.
Seeing people, seeing it through Finn, meeting people, talking with people, doing something for somebody else. And that's what I feel Finn has done for us for so long. And now it's nice to see that for him.
Yeah.
But that makes me happier than any monetary value out there, is just seeing something done for somebody else or seeing somebody's energy spike because they're in love with the world and nature.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. And that's been a really rewarding aspect for sure.
You've been listening to Parklandia, a show about national parks.
Parklandia is a production of iHeartRadio.
Created by Matt Kerouac, Brad Kerouac, and Christopher Hasiotis.
Produced and edited by Mike Johns.
Our executive producer is Christopher Hasiotis.
Our researcher is Jesslyn Shields.
A special thanks goes out to Gabrielle Collins, Crystal Waters, and the rest of the Parklandia crew.
And hey, listeners, if you're enjoying the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people like you find our show.
You can keep up with us on social media as well. Check out our photos from our travels on Instagram at Parklandia Pod and join in on the conversation in our Facebook group, Parklandia Rangers.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
And as always, thank you for listening.
Of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.